Healing Word with Bill and Sandy Griffin, bringing hope and healing to our generation. Welcome to The Healing Word. Your hosts, Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. We have a special program today for you. We're going to give you a teaching on the subject of the Passover, and more especially, Jesus in the Passover.
And we know Jewish people everywhere are around their Seder tables celebrating Passover for two nights. And this is exactly what Jesus was doing at what the church calls the Last Supper. So we're going to just fill it in for you so that you could see Jesus in the Passover.
The scripture we have for you is from Exodus 12. God said to Moses and Aaron while still in Egypt, "This month is to be the first month of the year for you. Address the whole community of Israel. Tell them that on the 10th of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one lamb to a house. Keep it penned up until the 14th day of this month, and then slaughter it. The entire community of Israel will do this at dusk. Then take some of the blood and smear it on the two doorposts and the lintel of your houses in which you will eat it. You are to eat the meat roasted in fire that night, along with bread made without yeast and bitter herbs. Don't eat any of it raw or boiled in water. Make sure it's roasted. The whole animal, head, legs, and innards. Don't leave any of it until morning. If there be leftovers, burn them in the fire. And this is how you are to eat it. Be fully dressed, with your sandals on and your stick in your hand. Eat in a hurry. It is the Passover to God. I will go through the land of Egypt on this night and strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, whether human or animal, and bring judgment upon all the gods of Egypt. I am God. The blood will serve as a sign on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No disaster will touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This will be a memorial day for you. You will celebrate it as a festival to God down through the generations, a fixed festival of celebration to be observed always. You'll eat unleavened bread for 7 days, and on the first day get rid of all the yeast in your houses. Anyone who eats anything with yeast from the first day to the seventh will be cut off from Israel. The first and seventh days are set aside as holy. Do no work on those days, only what you have to do for meals. Each person can do that. Keep the festival of unleavened bread. This marks the exact day I brought you out in force from the land of Egypt. Honor the day down through your generations, a fixed festival to be observed always. In the first month, beginning on the 14th day at evening until the 21st day at evening, you are to eat unleavened bread. And for those 7 days, not a trace of yeast is to be found in your houses. Sandy, would you open us in prayer?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that Christ, our Messiah, is sacrificed for us. He is the Passover Lamb. Thank you that the blood of the Lamb is applied to the doorposts of our hearts and our houses. And Lord, thank you for the eternal redemption through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for those who do not know you as Messiah to come to saving knowledge of you this day. And Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Help us to see, Lord, as you walked through this, help us to see the symbolism. Help us to see the accomplished, finished work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So just a very brief background on Passover. We know that Passover was the freeing of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. They celebrated the Passover again at the foot of Mount Sinai, and that was in the second year after leaving Egypt. And it was right before setting up the tabernacle. God's presence covered it, and it looked like fire. Another Passover, that was probably the last Passover in the 40 years of the wilderness. And the next celebration of Passover was 38 years later, as they followed Joshua, which is the same Hebrew name as Yeshua, into the Promised Land. And again, God stopped the waters of the Jordan. You remember the story. And the priests took the ark, and the people passed over, much like the crossing of the Red Sea. They built an altar there, and the last foot as it left the riverbed returned to flood stage. They renewed their covenant with God and by circumcision on the plains of Jericho, and the Israelites celebrated the Passover there. And the very next day, they ate the produce of the land and the unleavened bread, and the manna stopped. The day after, they ate the food of the promised land. Jesus, as he was raised Jewish, never changed religion, celebrated Passover year after year after year. And in Scripture, we see many references to Jesus' life celebrating the Passover. And we just want to highlight a few of them. The first time we see Jesus in the Passover, we see him in Luke 2, and he's at age 12.
Every year, his parents went up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to their custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day, and then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have anxiously been searching for you." And Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me?" He asked, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men.
And so that was at age 12, right before his bar mitzvah. Then years have passed and he's in his public ministry. And here he is with passion at a Passover. And he's overturning the tables of the moneylenders. And in John 2, Bill, if you would read that.
When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle and sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove them from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me."
Amen. Amen. And then we have the Last Supper. And what we're going to do is this was written to Jewish people, so there's a lot of details that are not written into the scripture that are assumed that the people already know of how the Seder celebration goes on. So we're going to go line by line in Luke 22 at the Last Supper, and it's a composite, really, of what each gospel, because each gospel offers a little different focus. So here we have Jesus. It's the day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." We know that they should have been with their families, and Jesus' popularity at that point was so great that he had to make like last-minute plans so that he could spend it with them alone. And it was an interesting point that the oldest person would be the one that heads up the Seder table, the Passover meal. And in this situation, Jesus was the one. Had he been at his family table, he would not have been the one leading the Seder. So then the question is asked, where should they go? And Scripture says in verse 10 to 12, "Enter the city, see a man, a servant, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where's the guest room that I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he'll show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparation there." And in verse 13, they found things as Jesus described. So they prepared the Passover. And we need to look at what that meant, because the Passover meal itself, the preparation was already made in that upper room. So the wine for the four cups was there, the bitter herbs was already provided, the hyssop, and the unleavened bread was there. But what did it mean? So what did they do?
Scripture spares us from this. Well, they went to market to purchase a lamb, and they took it together to have it inspected. They took it to the temple courts. All of the 300,000 paschal lambs had to be slain before the incense was burnt for the evening sacrifice, and the lamps of the golden candlestick were trimmed for the night. Peter and John would slay the lamb, and as it was dying, one would catch the blood in a golden bowl and hand it to the other, where it was passed to the priests at the great altar, and where the blood was put at the base of the altar. While this was going on, the Hallel, Psalms 113 through 118, was chanted by the Levites.
And that might have sounded like, so that would be Psalm 116. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I'm your servant, Lord. I serve you as my mother did. You freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Another psalm that they would hear at the same time would be Psalm 118. This is as the lambs are being slain. The Lord is good. He's made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will praise you. You're my God. I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
The lamb was cleansed and its parts removed to be burnt on the altar. The apostles Peter and John return with the lamb to make final preparations for the supper. They put a spit through the lamb and roasted it whole. The other elements were already there.
And then scripture says in verse 15, he sat with them and said,
with great desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.
And of course the disciples are questioning, what do you mean suffer? This is Passover. We're celebrating. They then reclined at the table, no longer slaves. And remember, his ministry began with the sacrament of baptism and ends with the sacrament of the Last Supper. So the Passover begins and the candles are lit. And Jesus begins the Passover with the first cup of wine, which is the wine of sanctification, which means separation. And at every Seder meal, this is what they're focused on, thanksgiving for freeing us from the bondage of Egypt.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who created the fruit of the vine.
Jesus tells them to drink of it and tells them that another feast awaits him in the future when the kingdom would come. And this is an interesting point, that as we celebrate Passover, it's not like we are commemorating something historically, because it becomes our experience. We were slaves in Egypt. It becomes my experience now. So then the head of the Passover gets up as part of the ceremony, and he ceremoniously washes his hands. And this is where Jesus puts on a towel on his waist and washes his disciples' feet. Jesus presents himself at that point as the Son of God and the Son of Man, because only a servant would wash feet. And Jesus taught about ministry and greatness in humility and in service. And we want to just make a note that he washed all the disciples' feet. He washed Judas' feet as well. So next in the gospel account, there's the dipping in the bitter herbs and salt water, which we do at our Passover meals. And it represents, as we dip the parsley into the salt water, into the bitter herbs, and it represents the bitterness and the tears of slavery. And we remember that God stores all of our tears in a bottle. And the second cup of wine is poured and prepared. Prayers are spoken. And the story of the Exodus is read. And with each plague, we take a drop of wine or grape juice, and it's taken out of the cup And with each plague, it's dropped on the plate, and the hands are washed again. And then there's the recounting of the Exodus story, which becomes our story, not just our forefathers.
And the Egyptians ill-treated us. And we cried unto the Eternal, the God of our fathers. And the Eternal heard our voice, saw our affliction, our sorrow, and our oppression. And the Eternal heard one voice, our voice. And as it is said, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And the Eternal brought us forth from Egypt with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, and with great terror, and with signs and wonders.
And it's at this point, after the Exodus story is read, that the scripture says that Jesus starts to feel agony in his spirit. And he says, one of you will betray me. And they question who. And he says, the one who will dip his hand in the sop with me. So the Passover meal actually begins, the meal part begins at this point. Jesus, who is the bread of life, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, which translates to the house of bread, Jesus takes the unleavened, sinless bread, breaks it with a prayer, and he speaks, and they partake, and he says,
this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And it's at that point that he begins to teach them from John 14.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going.
He then takes the unleavened bread and dips it into the bitter herbs, the sop, and hands it to Judas. Judas leaves, and they think he's gone out to do charity because at the temple, they were often the poor who needed charity at Passover. And just as a side note, Judas never partakes of the lamb. So they eat the Passover lamb, all of it, the way that it was prescribed, as we opened in Exodus. And they eat all of it. And I just wonder, is Jesus hearing as he's eating that lamb, does he hear the words spoken by his cousin John the Baptist? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the gospel then picks up, and after supper he took the cup, which was the third cup, remember this four, and this is the cup of redemption. And he says,
this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.
And it's at that moment that the old covenant and the new covenant come together. The Old Testament is fulfilled, and the new covenant of grace and mercy has begun. Jesus promises then and teaches about the Holy Spirit.
If you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and that you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him.
And then the fourth cup is filled and drank, and it's the cup of praise. And it's at this point where Jesus, in agony of spirit, teaches and comforts in John 15 and 16, where he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I've chosen you to bear much fruit that will last.
If you'll remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. For as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love.
And at the conclusion of the Passover, that's the place Jesus begins to intercede for his disciples in John 17, which is really the Lord's Prayer.
Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks where you're going. Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is good that I am going away. For unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment.
And they conclude the Passover, and the Scripture says that they then sing the Passover hymn and go to the Mount of Olives. The Passover hymn was, again, as Bill said before, in the Hallel between Psalms 113 and 118. So they're singing the Passover hymn, Psalm 118. Here's Jesus singing it as he's walking to the Mount of Olives. Here's some of the words. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord's done. The Lord's chastened me severely, but not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord which the righteous may enter. I give you thanks, for you answered me. You've become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord's done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done this. Let us rejoice today and be glad in it. So there they are on the Mount of Olives. Jesus celebrated the Passover the first night.
Jesus was the Passover lamb the next day.
He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And as we start to trace the future of the Lamb as he's in heaven and the Passover, we look into the book of the Revelation.
The great multitude in white robes. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, and people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried aloud in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb."
And then further in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 15, at the sea of glass.
Like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name, they held harps given to them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And after this I looked, and in heaven the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened.
So we have been looking at Jesus, our Redeemer. We're looking at the process of the Passover. And we saw Jesus in the Passover, Christ our Passover. There are some of you who do not know him as the Passover Lamb, as the one whose blood was slain for you. Bill, would you lead our listeners in a prayer of salvation?
The gates of the tabernacle are opened wide to receive you. You just have to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, to give you a new life. So if you'll say with your mouth, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, show me how to live for you. Thank you, Jesus. You've now come into the kingdom through those portals of that heavenly tabernacle."
You know, as I'm thinking, welcome to the family, welcome to eternal life. As God spoke in covenant first with Abraham, He had him look into the stars in the night sky. And do you know that the fulfillment of that promise is still happening? You're one of the stars that God showed Father Abraham as he saw the stars, that his children would outnumber the stars in the sky. And you're one of them now, through the blood of the Passover Lamb.
You've been listening to The Healing Word. Your hosts, Bill and Sandy Griffin of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio, letting you know that God loves you so very much. And Bill and Sandy do too. Tune in next time.
You have been listening to The Healing Word, a radio outreach of the Christian Counseling Center in Pickerington, Ohio. The Healing Word is sponsored by the Christian Counseling Center and generous gifts of ministry friends. Visit us online at griffincounsel.com. That's GRIFFINCOUNSEL.com. And thank you for listening.